having Alan home for Thanksgiving break is a joy to us because we get to see him. I get to work him to death. And I'm doing a real good job of that. And poor old Tex has been in on that too. But in the meantime, we get to play a little music at night if we can stay awake long enough. And so we just want to share this one with you. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's door, and can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and can't feel at home in this world
anymore. Gentlemen, and today we continue our November series on Thanksgiving in the Psalms, so we will continue that next week as well. Discover Magazine published an article on shouting fish. Now, I've caught some fish, but I've never caught any of them shouting personally. Every day, thousands of cars and trucks rumble across bridges all over the United States. Their drivers probably don't give much thought to what's swimming in the rivers, lakes, or bays below. But the fish notice them. They can hear those noisy engines passing overhead. And according to a new study, they are having to shout to communicate over the din. The effects of sonar and other human-made sounds on the communication of marine mammals, such as whales and dolphins, is well documented. But fish talk too. So far, researchers have identified about 800 different species of fish that use vocal signals. I know about catfish, crappie, and bass, and that's about it. One of them is the black-tailed shiner, which lives in parts of the Southeast, Midwest, and in Texas. Dan Holt, a fisheries biologist at Auburn University in Alabama, wondered how the shiner responds to the loud traffic on bridges in the area. You don't hear much about freshwater systems, he says, but I drive over 3 or 4 bridges coming to work, and a lot of times we're out collecting data by bridges and we hear that noise. This fish is exposed to a lot of different types of sounds. Boat traffic, 18-wheelers, lots of bridge noises, he says. Holt and his co-researcher, Carol Johnson, wanted to find out if the black-tailed shiner communicates differently in noisy areas. They knew that male shiners purr to attract potential mates and pop to fend off competitors. It's remarkable that everyday fish shout at each other, but it's more remarkable that all of creation and people throughout the world will shout for joy to the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. If there's anything for us to shout about, we can shout in praise for the Lord. People often shout at sporting events or concerts. There was an exciting game with Alabama and Mississippi State that I was shouting at quite a bit when I was watching it on TV. The greatest experience that we can have in this life is when we encounter the Lord. Shouting is used throughout the Psalms. Psalm 98:4, shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth, break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. Shouting and joy are often mentioned aspects of worship in the Old Testament. Joy accompanied the Ark of the Covenant. 1 Chronicles 15:28. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the horn, with trumpets, with loud sounding cymbals, with harps, and with lyres. Worship is a time for joyous celebration. The people shouted for joy during the dedication of the temple. Ezra 3:11, they sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great joy, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. The Israelites shouted for joy in Yahweh's presence in Jerusalem. Isaiah 12:6, cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. God is in our midst. Where two or three are gathered, the Lord is there. That's reason alone to get excited. But you know, sometimes when I'm around people, they shout a lot at concerts, but in church it looks like someone has died. We can be joyous because the Lord is here among us. The psalm is simply titled, A Psalm of Thanksgiving, and it's the only psalm in the collection to bear this title. It speaks of an invitation to the whole earth to know and to worship God. And isn't it amazing that the gospel has been spread now to every country in the world? And all the persecution, all the imprisonments, all the killings have not stopped the word of God. G. Campbell Morgan had this to say. It is jubilant with confidence for the whole earth as it contemplates the glory of that earth when all its people are submitted to the reign of Jehovah. Jesus pronounced, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that is a reason to be joyous. And all acts of religious worship, whether in secret or in our families or in the church, we come into God's presence and serve Him. But in public worship especially, that we enter in His gates and into His courts. And the people would enter in the gates and the courts of the temple to worship the Lord. And we don't have to journey to Jerusalem today to enter into God's gates and God's courts. The Lord is with us today. Back then, the priests were the only people that could enter into the inner parts of the temple. Gentiles, men and women who were not priests, we're only allowed to go in so far. And then in the Holy of Holies itself, the Kadesh HaKadashim, only the high priest could go once a year, and they tied a rope to him, so if he died, they didn't have to go in there, they just pull him back out. And there was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died, the curtain was torn asunder. God's presence is no longer away from the people. God's presence is no longer in the temple. Paul tells us that we are all the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in each and every one of us. We have a blessing that the people of Israel never had until the coming of Jesus. Because of Jesus, now we can enter into the Holy of Holies. Let God be served with gladness. By holy joy, we do really serve God. It's an honor to serve Him and rejoice in Him. And we ought to serve Him with holy joy. The Lord doesn't ask us to serve out of obligation. The Lord asks us that in our joy, in our love, in the mercy and grace He's given us, for us to joyfully serve Him. If we serve a God, let us serve Him with gladness. Some of the insights I will share today come from John Gill, who preached at the church once served by Charles Spurgeon. The psalmist prophesies that the God is calling the Gentiles, and that calling will be so great, it'll be a wonderful opportunity to praise His mercy and rejoice. Here in the Psalms, God's already saying, where this is not just confined to Jews, the whole world is going to know Me. And one of the reasons why I am a Christian is that several hundred prophecies concerning Jesus of the Old Testament were fulfilled when He came. The chances of that happening on accident are the chances of a tornado hitting a 747 and the 747 falling right back into place. It would be the chances of a monkey typing the great novel. All of these prophecies pointing to the coming King. The original word signifies a glad shout, such as loyal subjects give when their king appears among them. And if you've ever seen those movies or those TV shows where people enter the courts of the kings or the emperors, if you're not glad to be there, your head could be on the next pole. That was the reverence that was due to the king or queen. You would bow before the king or queen. You would show them reverence. Spurgeon says, "Our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with His nature, His acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish of His mercies." We should cherish His mercies. The Lord sings over us. The Lord is glad that we are a part of His family. The God who created the universe loves that we have been adopted into His family. The Father running back to the prodigal son. That picture of what God thinks of us. Kidner wrote that the shout for the Lord is the same language used when people would adore their king or queen. The joyful noise is not the special contribution of the tone deaf, still less the trivial, but the equivalent in worship to the homage shout of fanfare to a king. Like when all those men were about to follow and fight in that movie Braveheart and they gave that great shout, that's what we're talking about. All the inhabitants of the earth who are called to shout unto Him as their king, as the angels did at His birth. The angels were singing at the birth of Christ. The disciples, when He made His public entrance in Jerusalem. Palm Sunday, the triumphant time when Christ entered Jerusalem. The apostles at His ascension into heaven. Both men and angels and women when He shall descend from heaven to judge the world. The second coming, there will be a shout. Who has victory over sin, Satan, death, and the grave, and every enemy of His people. Not only has God won the victory, God can't lose. That is who lives within us. That's who goes before us with the Israelites. He would go before them as a cloud or a pillar of fire. God goes before each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Father, all are on our side and all call us to follow the Lord. The matter of praise and the motives to it are very important. You notice whenever Jesus was talking to someone, he always caught to the heart. When the rich young ruler came, he said, "Oh, but are you willing to give up of your money?" When he was talking to the woman at the well, he said, "Go and sin no more." He knew. The Lord knew the heart of the people. When Nicodemus was in the tree, the Lord knew his heart. When the Pharisees were trying to impress everyone, Jesus saw through them. Jesus cares about our hearts, about what is inward. The covenant of grace set down in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament with so many rich promises to strengthen the faith of every weak believer. Juanita Ryan is a clinical nurse specialist with an MSN in psychiatric mental health nursing. She's taught mental health nursing at Bethel University, Rio Hondo Community College, and Biola University. She's currently a therapist in private practice at Brea Family Counseling Center in Brea, California. She has this to say about prayer. "Sometimes we suffer not only from denying and suppressing grief, but also denying and suppressing joy. Joy, like grief, is a physical experience. It is an emotion that carries a great deal of energy, energy that begs to be relief. In grief, this release is usually found in tears. In joy, this release is often found in making music, shouting, and dancing. This kind of activity allows us to take in the gifts that are continually given to us. This kind of prayer grounds us in our body and in the breathtaking gift of the moment. We need to do more of this, for life is precious and the gifts we are given often go underappreciated, under-celebrated, under-enjoyed." And isn't it interesting that scientists have found that prayer helps your health in several ways. Attending church helps your health. Laughter helps your health. Joy helps your health. Isn't it interesting that not just spiritually but physically, there is something to having joy in the Lord? Worship the Lord with gladness. This is Hebrew parallelism. Parallel, in this sense, means when the Bible repeats something, God's really serious about it. And when you read Psalm 100, God over and over and over is giving the inspiration to the psalmist to repeat the need to worship the Lord with gladness. And isn't this a wonderful command of God, that we should to worship God in joy? Isn't it wonderful that God wants us to do this? Not with a slavish fear under a spirit of bondage, as the Jews under the legal system. Not in the oldness of the letter of the law, but in the newness of the Spirit, with spiritual joy and freedom of soul, as under the spirit of adoption, God has adopted each and every Christian into His family. That's how much love God has for us. Readily, willingly, cheerfully, without sinister and selfish ends and views, as their Lord and Master, taking delight in His person and pleasure in His service, rejoicing in Him without having any confidence in the flesh, come before His presence with singing. A mom shared a story about one of her 3-year-old son's favorite bedtime songs. "So when we sang this verse, he asked me if any of his toys were the dangerous ones. I had no idea what he meant until I asked him. He said, 'Mommy, we just sang about the dangerous toys and snails in the grace song.' I laughed for so long, it took a while for both of us to get to sleep after that." The joy of singing. That's like the kid asking, "Who's Hank the Angel?" Because Hank the Angel likes to sing. I tell him he probably sings some country if it's Hank the Angel.
Harry Angel.
Yes, Hank the Harry Angel. To the throne of his grace, with thankfulness for mercies received, as well as to employ others, and into his house, and at his ordinances, beginning public worship with singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, his love endures forever. He declares that we should never be weary in praising him, saying that the Lord's mercies towards us last forever. This is an incredible promise. His love endures forever. His love never ends. It never dies. Unlike every vehicle that I've ever had, eventually gives up the ghost. Usually when I don't want it to. Dave Ramsey and other financial experts warn us against buying extended warranties. According to Ramsey, an extended warranty sounds like a good thing to have when you buy a new car. Why does he say it's best to stay away? Why, you may ask? Well, the worst thing about an extended warranty is that it's overpriced. In fact, about half the money you pay goes towards the salesperson's commission. So a lot of the money you hand over doesn't even go towards the purpose of the warranty, which is to pay for things that go wrong with the car over the extended period. For the dealer, it's more important than ever to sell an extended warranty when they sell a car. Also, what they've done with studies has found, when you first buy a car, there's going to be some problems in those first 3 years. Then there's a sweet spot when your car does pretty well, and then towards the end of its life, the car gets really expensive. So you got the warranty, but then the extended warranty covers the period where usually your car behaves itself. But just as it's about to have trouble, typically the extended warranty ends. That's on average. Some people blow an engine and are very thankful that they had the extended warranty. The National Auto Dealers Association says that the average car dealer is losing money on the sale of each new car. So tacking on the warranty is crucial for them to make money. We can't even depend on extended warranties to protect us in the future. Fortunately, his love and mercy endures forever. God does not have any fine print or exceptions. Dish Network changed the terms of my contract, and were going to charge me for something that, according to the contract, was free. So I called up Dish Network, and I was talking to their customer service, and I told them this. And then they said, in the fine print, it says we can change the contract whenever we want. So imagine as consumer signing a contract that helps you not at all, and only helps the person selling you something. God is not like that. God honors his promises. The Lord is good, and therefore does good. His mercy is everlasting. It's a fountain that will never go dry, unlike a lot of streams in Texas during the summer. Where I would go over to the Dillons, and in the spring, you know, they had this nice little stream. Then in the summer, it looked like I was in Afghanistan or Death Valley or the moon. You know, it looked like there was no life going on at all in the stream. But the Lord's stream never runs dry. Our walk with Jesus will only grow sweeter, deeper, and more joyful as we praise him throughout eternity. And this reminded me of the song Forever by Chris Tomlin. Give thanks to our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good. He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Do we express joy when we worship, pray, teach, give, and serve? Is the joy of the Lord our strength? What are some ways that we can express joy to God this week? It is a joyous occasion to worship with God's people. It's a joyous occasion to serve at Lampass's Mission or serve in some other ministry. It's a joyous time to sing praises to the Father, whether it's on your ranch or whether it's in the church. It's a joyous event to pray and spend time with God, no matter what problems we have in our lives. Jesus says that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. The Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Quiet your soul and enjoy the refreshing times of joy with the Lord. When we sing joy to the world, are we joyful? When we sing joyful, joyful, we adore thee. When we are marching to Zion, does it actually seem like we're marching to Zion? Or are we on some school field trip where we're just super bored? When we're standing on the promises, are we standing up? When it's victory in Jesus, do we sound like we have victory in Jesus? Or if our life consumed with the joy of the Lord, our deliverer has come, we can also share the joy of the Lord with people that do not know Jesus yet. What's one reason to tell people about Jesus? So that they can have the joy of the Lord too. And now our benediction, which is from John R. Claypool. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father. And as you go, remember, in this goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all day long, even until this hour, by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus. You're being redeemed. Amen.